الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة حاميم السجدة اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكه الا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وابشروا بالجنه التي كنتم توعدون الى قوله تعالى واما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله انه هو السميع العليم صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا آمین یا رب العالمین. In the last session we were discussing the first three آیات of this lesson number 4 of the first section or first part of the selected course of study of the Quran which we are discussing in these lectures. And we also studied three آیات from Surah Yunus علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام which are very similar to these three ayat. So first of all, I want to discuss a few points regarding the exegesis of these three ayat. And then I shall proceed to discuss a very important issue. And that is the interaction of the angels and the humans. First of all, about this descending of the angels on those who say, رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا and then remain firm on it. It is agreed upon by all that this descending of the angels is near the death of the mu'min. When a mu'min is dying, he is, so to say, being transferred from this world to the next. So these angels come from the next world as if to say welcome to these bondsmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many people have said something of this kind near their end. Virtuous people, when on deathbed, it has been reported about many that they said, well, get away to their relatives. Make way for those who are coming. As if they saw the angels who had come to receive them from that other world, the invisible world. About this descending of the angels on a dying mu'min, there's no difference of opinion, it's all agreed upon. But there are certain people who doubt whether this coming down of the angels or descending of the angels on the mu'mins, on the believers, it continues in this life also. I agree with those who say that yes, angels do descend, they come down. They support the mu'mins in their struggle against evil. They buck up the mu'mins in their struggle and strife against whatever is wrong and false. So actually there are proofs in the Quran. Angels did descend to help the Muslims, the mu'mins, in the battle of Badr. There is clear ayat that in Badr and Uhud both, in Surah Al-Anfal and Surah Al Imran, there's a clear mention. Then you there is a hadith, very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is relevant to our these meetings also. The Prophet said, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ او كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Messenger of Allah said, whenever some Muslims gather together in some house of Allah, primarily the mosque, only to read Quran and discuss it, يتدارسون بينهم, discussing it, learning it from each other. Whenever this happens, نزلت عليهم السكينة, سكينة, satisfaction, tranquility comes down upon them. غشيتهم الرحمة, and the mercy of Allah covers them. وحفتهم الملائكة, and ملائكة come and surround them. وذكرهم الله في من عنده, and Allah mentions them to those who are with him, the ملائكة المقربون, the highest level of malaika, which are there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are levels of malaika. Al-malaikatul muqarrabun. Allah mentions those people, see, my bondsmen, they have taken time, they have taken the trouble to come and gather at one place. And the only purpose for their coming over there, gathering over there, is to read my book and understand my book and learn my book. So this is actually a very clear hadith, that the malaika descend, and malaika, they back up and support the mu'min in their struggle against evil and against whatever is false. Please again listen to this hadith. The text is, مجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة غشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. So I hold the opinion, I agree with those who say that this coming down of angels to the mu'mins, it continues throughout their life. And especially when they are dying, they come to welcome, as if they are the emissaries of the other world, coming to welcome them, escort them honorably to that world of Akhirah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ لَا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. This becomes very relevant at the time of death. Anything which could have perturbed you in this world, now this life has come to an end. Now in the next world, next life, for you nothing is for grief and nothing to fear. But actually this happens in this world also. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We are our friends. If it was said at the time of death, the translation would be, we were your friends in the life of this world also. But the translation can be both ways. We are your friends. We are your supporters, your helpers. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. In this world also, and in the next, in the Akhirah, we shall be your companions. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. And in Akhirah, in Jannah, in the paradise, in the heavens, everything has been provided for you for which there is any longing, any desire, any wish in yourselves. What does it mean? And this is a very important point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man. He has produced in him many wishes, desires. Everybody would like to have good things to eat. Tasteful, good things. Good looking, good smelling, good tasting. Then the sexual urge. Every man would like beautiful women, beautiful wives, faithful wives. Every woman would have an urge to have a faithful husband and a handsome husband. All these things are ingrained in human nature. And a woman in this world puts restraints on his desires. No, no, no. I can't afford it. Because I'm a poor person. I can't go to haram. To earn haram, and then to have these things, these luxuries. So what is Mu'min is doing? He is restraining his desires in this world because he believes in Allah. He is abiding by his laws of halal and haram. So the logical reward should be that in the hereafter all their wishes and desires must be fulfilled to the maximum. And this is what Allah will do. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ اِشْتِهَا and شَهْوَت. The root is the same. اِشْتِهَا. مُجھے اِشْتِهَا نہیں ہے. I don't feel, I'm not inclined, I don't feel like taking food. This is اِشْتِهَا that we use. And شَهْوَة, the same word. These two basic urges in man, to eat something, but not only to fill the stomach, but also to have a tasty food, good smelling, good tasting. This sexual urge, all these urges of mu'min will be fulfilled to the maximum. This is logical. But over and above that, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ, whatever you will demand, it will be produced. What does it mean? All people will not be equal as regards their level of consciousness. There are certain people who can't think of anything higher than the usual things of life. But there are others who have a higher taste. Maybe they like something which to an ordinary person appears to be absolutely irrelevant, useless. But their taste is very high. So everybody will be given according to his level, his taste. Let me quote a very interesting event. A friend of mine, he is an ophthalmologist practicing in Lahore. He was coming over to America. Now he asked every son and daughter of his, what should I bring for you from America? So every child, every son or daughter was telling, a small daughter, very young, very small, she said, bring a pencil for me from America. Now this pencil, she couldn't think of anything more. Her horizon, her mental horizon, actually was very much limited. Maybe she was quarreling with the elder brother and the elder brother was not giving him the pencil to write something. So her desire was to have a pencil. So everybody would have a desire of his own, regarding his own level of consciousness. So that is the second thing. Basically, human instincts are equal. There are everything in all these things are equally given to every human being. To eat something good, to have beautiful and handsome spouses. Well, this is an urge. Every human being has it. That will be fulfilled primarily. But then, next to it, and over and above that, whatever you demand, and that will be according to your level of your taste, your level of consciousness, your level of understanding, and please take it that the final thing, the last, that every person in heaven, in Jannah, will ask for, will be to see Allah. Nothing else. Everything already fulfilled. The last desire to see Allah without any hijab. And that will also be fulfilled. But that will be the highest or the last thing that will be available to the people of Jannah. Now please note one thing more. Nuzulam min ghafurin rahim. What is this nuzul? There are two words in Arabic language. Ziyafah and nuzul. Zaif and Nazil, when some guest has arrived, because he comes down from some camel, or from some horse, or from some car, he is called Nazil. He has Nazala. He has come down. Just he has come down from his car, or from his horse, or from his camel, or from some ass. He has come down. He is Nazil. Now he is staying with you. Now he is Zaif. So Nazil and Zaif means two things. Any guest, immediately when he comes, he is Nazil. But when he stays with you, now he is Zaif. the first thing that you give to the guest when he just arrives, this is called nuzul. Immediately, some cold drink, some cup of tea, according to the weather, this is nuzul. And the real ziyafa is, now you will prepare the feast for the guest. That will be after preparation, after some time. That is ziyafa. Now the word here used is nuzul. All these things are nuzul for the people of the Jannah. The real ziyafa nobody knows. And let me give you the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is included in Bukhari, in Muslim, in Tirmidhi. The most authentic, one of the most authentic ahadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله عز وجل. This is a hadith of Qudsi. The Prophet said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah عز وجل says, أعددت لعبادي الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت وما خطر على قلب بشر. I prepared for my bondsmen who are really virtuous those things which no eye had ever seen, no ear had ever heard about it, and heart of any human being could ever visualize it. All the other things which are mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Rahman, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, in Surah Al-Dahar, they are known to us. The hoor and the kusoor and these things to eat and the fruit and everything and the honey and the milk and everything. But actually these are nuzul. The real ziyafa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared, the feast, He says, no human being can know it, can ever imagine it, because he has never seen it. So that is the actual ziyafa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for His virtuous bondsman. Aadatto, this is hadith of Qudsi, Aadatto li'ibadiyya salihina ma la aynun ra'at wa la udhunun sami'at wa ma khatara ala qalbi bashar. Waqra'u in shaytum. And the Prophet said, if you like, you can read this ayah of the Quran. He's quoting Quran here again. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُفِّيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. This is from Surah Sajda. This is Hamim Sajda which we are studying, and this is Alif Lam Mim Sajda, which is called Surah Sajda, which the Prophet used to recite every Friday in the first rakah of the Fajr Salah. Surah Sajda. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ. Nobody knows what I have prepared for them in the hidden world, ma ufiya lahum min qurrati ayun, with which their eyes will have the pleasure to see. And nobody knows it now. In this world you can't imagine it. So nuzulam min wafuri rahim, all that has been mentioned, it is nuzul only. So these are some points regarding the exegesis of these ayat, but now a very important discussion. Because although Malaika was mentioned in our lesson number 2 also, in Articles of Faith, Iman bil Malaika, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. But up till now we have discussed only one aspect of Malaika, and that is they have been bringing wahi to the prophets. Jibreel brought wahi to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now for the first time in this passage of the Quran, in these ayat, we find there is an interaction of all human beings with Malaika. The mu'mineen. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Now this is an interaction not only with the prophets, but with the mu'mineen, with the people who have real belief and iman. So here I want to discuss something. Number one, this word, what does it mean? The root is aluk, and this means message. Mal'ak is the word which means messenger, but then it is usually malak. Malik is king, malak is angel. And when it is the plural malaika, that hamza which was dropped in malak, from mal'ak that Hamza has been dropped to Malak. But in the plural it appears again, Malaika. Who are they? Please note, in the 20th century or the 19th, in the end of the 19th century, some people, some scholars in the world of Islam, they try to rationalize the basic articles of faith. And they said, for example, Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan of Indian subcontinent, he said, Malaika are not personified existence. Only the forces of the nature have been named Malaika. For example, force of gravity, well, you say, it's a Malaika, it's one Malak. And so on. This is a very big mistake, misunderstanding, a very fundamental dalala, misguidedness. Malaika, they are the purest forms of creatures, created out of noor, light. There is a hadith in Sahih of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, from Ummul Mumineen, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ مِن نُورٍ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the angels out of noor, light. So they are noorani in their existence. But they are personified beings. And they, so to say, they are the bureaucracy, you may call them, of the hidden world, hidden universe, hidden government of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the workers. They perform whatever has been ordered to them. They implement the divine decisions. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided, the orders are given to the malaika, they are implementing them, they are enforcing them, but they are hidden from our eyes. And they have a close interaction with human beings. Not only with the prophets, that they brought the wahi to the prophets, but as we are seeing here, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْتَرُوا. As I quoted the hadith, حَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. The malaika are present here. And they have surrounded this gathering. We have come here only to learn and read and understand and discuss Quran and nothing else. No political move, no other this worldly ambition, nothing of the sort. Alhamdulillah. Only to learn Quran, understand Quran. مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِيمَنْ عِنْدَهُ. So now please let me give you a very important fundamental philosophical point. We find in this world that this is the Islamic and Quranic philosophy of history. What is history? Different philosophers have given different philosophical interpretations of history. Spengler has given a view and so on. Toynbee has his own views. But what's the Quranic philosophy? There has been throughout history a continuous struggle and strife between evil and good. There's a beautiful couplet from Allama Iqbal. Satiza kar raha hai azal se ta'im roz, chiraghe Mustafa bhi se sharare moolah bhi. Forces of evil, forces of good, forces of virtue. There has been a continuous struggle. This history is a struggle, a record of struggle between evil and good. This is Quranic philosophy of history. Now what the struggle between evil and good which we are seeing and observing in the world, the origin is human personality. There is a struggle between good and evil within the realm of our own personalities. And this is affecting the outside world. Now what are the forces which are against each other, contesting? Number one, within our own selves, there is a force dragging us, pulling us towards evil. That is, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Nafse ammara we call it. If you like the Freudian terminology, it's the id or libido. It's the animal instincts. It's the baser self. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. This nafs always demands something which is bad, which is evil. It is pulling us towards something which is bad and evil. But within our own personalities, there is another force also which wants to take us to high level of virtue and good. That is our ruh and qalb. And according to Freud, it's the ego. And you can add to it the superego. He has two terms. Ego, superego. And they may be corresponding to qalb and ruh of the Quranic terminology. Id or libido is one thing. Nafs, inna nafs ala maratum bisu is one thing. The animal instincts. The baser self, they may call it. But the ego and the superego. So there is a contest. Everybody knows it. This is going on. This battle, this quarrel, this war between evil and good is going on within the personality of every human being every moment. If an urge comes from the depths of your baser self, that urge needs its satisfaction. Sexual urge is blind. It needs satisfaction. Whether from haram or from halal, it doesn't care. But then your ruh, your qalb, your says, no, this is haram. There is a war. You are torn from within. There is a conflict. Now, this is basic. The struggle between good and evil is here, within me, within you. But supporting the evil and virtuous elements of human personality, there are external forces. These external forces can be divided into two. The invisible and the visible. The invisible force which calls you to good, to virtue, are malaika. They support you. They back up you. Go ahead. Do good deeds. Come on. And if you have committed some good deed, they back up you. You have done a good deed. Abshiru bil jannah. Nahnu awliyaukum. Have courage. Come to the right path. We shall support. And the invisible forces which pull you, call you towards evil are the jinns. Shayatinul jinn. They are invisible. The progeny or the followers of that shaitan iblis. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. This is Quran. That iblis and his army, they attack you from where you can't see them. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَجْرِي مِنَ الْإِنسَانِ مَجْرَى الدَّمِ. This is the saying of the Prophet. This shaitan permeates the body of a human being just like blood. They said the blood is permeating your whole body. Shaitan also circulates with the blood. Invisible, you can't see. But they are there. These shayateen. So now, the struggle between evil and good, basically between our own two selves, the baser self, the id or libido, on the one side, on the lower side, and the ego and superego, or qalb and ruh, on the other side. But supporting our basic instincts, our animal desires, are the shayateen al-jinn, invisible. And supporting our ruh, because malaika are also min alam amr, and ruh is also from alam amr. Malaika created out of nur, and arwah also created out of nur. This I'll discuss in some later lesson in detail. These malaika, they support our ruh. Abshiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun. Go ahead. Do good deeds. Now they are visible also among the humans. On the one side, the messengers of Allah, they have been calling people towards good. And the messengers of the messengers of Allah, I have been using this term. When Hazrat Umar went, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to take the bayah from women, on the order of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went to the congregation of women of Medina, what did he say? Ana rasulu rasulillahi. I am the messenger of the messenger of Allah. He has sent me. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal to Yemen, he himself said, Rasul Rasulillah.
Now you are actually the messenger of Allah. Allah sent me, I'm sending you. Every ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah. If he is not, he is unlucky, unfortunate. He should be. He has been deputed by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have conveyed the message to you. You have to convey it to the humanity at large. If you are a real ummati, if you are a ummati only by a false claim, that's something else. Every ummati, every follower of Muhammad, true follower, must be a messenger of the Messenger of Allah. Now, there have been the messengers of Allah, and the messengers of the Messenger of Allah. When Muhammad sent Musab bin Umair to Medina, he was the messenger of the Messenger of Allah. Go and preach and teach Quran to the people of Yathrib. And he brought in 1 year, 72, and put them before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the earning of my 1 year's hard labor. They are before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they took the bayah, which we studied yesterday. Bayana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala sami'i wa ta'ati fil usri wal yusri wal manshati wal makrahi wa asaratin alayna. That was the bayah. The 72 men and 3 women, they took this bayah at the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who were they? They were the earning of the hard labor of 1 year of Musab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala. Muhammad had not even stepped at the earth of Medina till that time. He never visited. So actually, on the other side, on the one side we have the messengers of Allah and the messengers of the messengers of Allah. And on the other side, there are men who are agents of shaitan. They are more than shaitan. Human beings. The human agents of shaitan are bigger than shaitan themselves. So this is actually the war. The forces arrayed against each other. Within human personality, the baser self and the real ego. The qalb and ruh on one side. Animal instinct and nafsi ammara on the other side. Supporting both them in the invisible world, the malaika supporting the ruh and qalb. And the shayateen and jinn supporting this animal instinct, the nafsi ammara. In the visible world, people who are calling towards Allah. Maybe they were the Sufiya, they were the Awliya Allah, they were the Sahaba-i-Kiram, going far and wide, taking the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to very far and wide. Who brought that message to Indonesia, the islands? No army, only Muslims, traders, preachers. On the other hand, the human agents of shaitan who are supporting, who have philosophized evil. Well, all this that you have, the nude societies, all that you have, the gay and the gay societies, the shaitan, shaitan among men, they have become bigger shayateen than shaitan iblis. So this struggle between evil and good is going on. Satiza kar raha hai agar sita imroos, chirag-e mustafavi se sharar-e bula. Inna allazina qalu rabbuna Allah summa istaqamu. تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم. Now come to the second part of this lesson. After مرتبہ ولاية اور مرتبہ احسان, now there is the مقام دعوت. Now stand up, call people. Now we have another term. In Surah Al-Asr we had Tawasaw bil-haq. In Surah Al-Luqman we had Amr bil-ma'roof nahi anil munkar. Here you have وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. A very profound ayah. Please try to memorize that sentence. And only if you take half an hour this night, you will memorize these 7 ayahs. And because you have listened to it, to the meaning, all this will also come home to you permanently. Because there are word associations. With each word there is going to be associated an idea, a thought that I have been telling you, I have been explaining. You memorize the words and the ideas and thoughts, they will simultaneously come and be recorded in your memory. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Who can be better in speech than a person? Allah has given tongue to everybody. Everybody is speaking. But the use of this tongue, the use of this power of speech, people are putting it to different use. But the best use is, مَنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Use this faculty to call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who have gone astray. People who have just forgotten. People who don't know. What did the Prophet used to say when people were persecuting him? Allahumma ahdi qawmi innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, guide this nation of mine, these people of mine, to the right path. They don't know. They are persecuting me. They are stoning me. They are calling me names. They are saying, I've gone mad, I've gone crazy, Majnoon. They say, I'm shair, I'm poet. They are saying that I have got dictation from somebody. Iktatabaha. But oh Allah, guide them to the right path. Forgive them. Because they don't know. They don't know what they are doing. Now if you see people, hold of people, your own sons, your own daughters, your own brothers, your own sisters, maybe your parents, your fathers, your mothers, going on their own path. And where that path is leading them to the fire of hell. And you are busy in your business. You are preoccupied with your professions. You don't try to save your sons and daughters and sisters and brothers and mothers and fathers and your kids and kin, your relatives. How come? The only reason could be you don't yourself believe in the hereafter. If a person really believes that we will be resurrected, if he really believes that the real life is the life of hereafter, he would devote all his time to save people from that life, from that fire of hell. The Prophet once said, the likeness, my likeness, the similitude, my similarity with you is to a person. That there are people and they are not seeing that there is a ditch of fire. They don't see. And they want to fall in it. And I'm holding you from your course. I'm trying to save you. Because you don't see. You are not seeing. You are jumping into a ditch of fire. Your eyes are closed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened my eyes. He has shown to me. The fire of hell, I've seen it. How can I be patient? Seeing you running towards that ditch of fire, I have to say, you might call me names. You may say, I'm an imposter. Say whatever you like, but I have to try to save you. So that is, the person who reaches that level of wilaya, he cannot have any time to gather money or to raise his level of life, standard of living. All his time, all his energy will be focused on one thing only, and that is to save people from the doom of the hereafter. Absolutely logical. The only thing is that you have real iman, real faith, real belief, conviction that it is going to happen, that there can be no other way. It won't be one of your part-time occupations. It will be whole-time occupation. For us, the only example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a very successful businessman. Did he devote even a single minute of his life after the beginning of Wahi to his business? Did he? And after the prophets, we have the examples of the awliya Allah. For what purpose Shaykh Muinuddin Ajmeri went to India? To do some business, to raise some property, to make some money. What for Shaykh Ali Hajmeri went to Lahore? What for? And then they settled there. Not that only for a few days of going back to your business and your shop and your service. No. For the whole life they stayed there. They made nothing for their progeny. They left no property. Just like the prophets. Just as Muhammad said, نَحْنُ مَعْشَرُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَا نَرِثُ وَلَا نُورَثُ مَا تَرَكْنَاهُ صَدَقَةً. We, the prophets of Allah, we don't have any inheritance. Whatever we have when we die, it is sadaqah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the people. No inheritance. لَا نَرِثُ وَلَا نُورَثُ مَا تَرَكْنَاهُ صَدَقَةً. So this is actually the logical relationship. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Now please note there are two terms in the Quran. دَعْوَةِ إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبْ and دَعْوَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. There must be some difference. اُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِهِمْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنَ. This is calling people towards the path of Allah. But here it is, call people towards Allah. And the same term appears in Surah Yusuf. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Say out, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my path. I am calling people towards Allah. And not calling blindly. عَلَى وَجْهِ الْبَصِيرَةِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. I know it, I see where I am calling the people. It's not a blind faith with me. It's with the deepest insight. So actually, calling people towards Allah, what does it mean? Love Him, adore Him. Make Him your nasabul ayn. Yazdaba kaman dawara himmate mardana. Don't settle for anything less. Aim high. Aim on Allah. Get Him. He should be your beloved. لا معبود إلا الله لا مقصود إلا الله لا مطلوب إلا الله لا محبوب إلا الله. Love for anything else, love for anyone else should be under the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I recited to you the ayah of Surah Al-Tawbah. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Tell them, O Muhammad, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your spouses, your relatives, the money that you have gathered, and the business or profession which you have established, and about which you fear of recession, and the property, the houses that are very dear to you, if these eight things are more dear to you than Allah and His Messenger, and making jihad in His cause, then go, wait there. Till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares His final verdict, and Allah is not going to guide such people to the right path. This is ayah number 24. Go and read it in the Quran. Ayah 24 of Surah At-Tawbah. And please try to memorize it. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the courage to have a firm determination that we shall be one of them. To dedicate ourselves to calling people towards Allah. That's the biggest gain that you can have. The Prophet once said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Ya Ali, أَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرِ النَّعْمِ. O Ali, if Allah guides even a single human being through you, Allah will guide, not you, but through you. You had invited him towards Allah or towards Allah's path. So you have become instrumental in divine guidance. To guide is actually Allah's act. لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ through you. رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا even one human being. خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرُ النَّعَامِ is more precious than red camels. Red camel in the eyes of the Arabs were a very precious thing. So this is actually the value structure. how much money you have gathered, accumulated, or how many people you have shown the right path, and how many people have come to the right path through your effort. How many people Allah has guided towards Him or towards His path through your effort. That this is going to be the biggest asset, biggest earning. Only if we believe in it. All the difference actually lies here. Having the real belief.
وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا.
Amal Salih here is mentioned only as a support, necessary support for da'wah. Otherwise, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. In the first ayah, it includes all amal.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا.
All the practical aspect of deen is included there in istiqamah. But here, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. You shouldn't be like those Jews about whom Quran says in the fifth section of Surah Al-Baqarah, أَفَتَابُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ فَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you want to call people to virtue and good and you just forget yourself? This calling people towards Allah.
First of all, call yourself.
The Prophet used to say in every sermon, Usikum wa nafsi be taqwallah. O people, I advise you and my own nafs also that we should have regard for Allah. I'm not forgetting my own nafs. Usikum wa nafsi be taqwallah. I advise you also and my own nafs also to have taqwa for Allah, to have regard for Allah.
أَتَعْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْفَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ.
You are going to preach Islam to foreign white people when you are forgetting your own sons and daughters. How come? You are a munafiq. Have you really believed in Islam? And hereafter, the first attempt should have been for your own sons and daughters. This is a profession and nothing else. If you are forgetting yourself and your family, and making speeches, very loud and very lengthy speeches to others, it's a business, it's a profession, nothing else. Had it been a real dawah, it should start with your own nafs, then your own kith and kin, your own family. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Try to save yourself and your family from the fire of hell. Then anzir ashirataka al-aqrabin, then go, and your own close relatives. This is the natural growth, natural extension of da'wah. Anything contrary to it is pathological. Something is wrong somewhere. It is a profession, something to earn some name or fame or money. That's all.
وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ.
And he said, I am also from among the Muslims. What does it mean? Not a proud and haughty person. This is a word showing humility. I'm calling you towards Allah, but I don't claim that I'm very high. I'm also a Muslim. I'm also trying to practice. I'm calling you also. And the second thing is, don't start another sect. In the name of the Muslimin, I'm a part of the Muslim Ummah. I'm a Muslim.
Don't call you anything yourself, anything except Muslim. You can follow some fiqh. You can follow some school of fiqh. That's a separate thing. But don't identify. Your identification, your identity should be only one. That is, I'm a Muslim. In the name of the Muslimin.
Huwa sammakumul Muslimin. He has given you the name of Muslim. Keep this name first and foremost.
وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Now this is actually a full character. After maqam-e walaya, maqam-e da'wah. It's the place from where you are now calling people. But don't think you are very high and you are looking down upon people with contempt and hatred and scorn. No, no, no. Only they are misled, misguided. Only they don't know. Call them from the depths of your hearts call them with maximum sincerity for them. You should have their good in your before you. Yes, Allah, may Allah save them. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Now there has always been a reaction, an opposition to those who call people towards Allah or His path. It's a rule. We studied that rule in the third lesson also. يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَى عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. Oh my little, dear little son, establish the regular prayer. Keep it established. Ordain other people. Bid them, order them for whatever is good. And forbid them for whatever is evil. And then have patience. Bear with forbearance what comes to you. Because haqq is burr. Al-haqq burrun. This is the saying in Arabic. Truth is bitter. People don't like it. Then if you are hitting, although it's not your aim, but when you are telling the truth, it might be hitting the vested interest of a person or a group or a section or a class of the society. They are bound to retaliate. What was the quarrel between Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people of Makkah? Was there any dispute of land or property or some woman or some money or some loan? No. They say the only three things are the disputed. Zar, zameen and zan. Zar, money, zameen, land, property and zan. And women. There have been wars. Helen of Troy. A big war. On a woman. It has been happening. But was there any dispute between Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people of Makkah about any of these things? None. But haqq, truth, to some, it is unbearable. They are bound to retaliate. Now, what should be your attitude? اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنُ. But the rule, the universal law which has been enunciated first is, لَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Good and evil cannot be equal. Good has its own effect. Evil has its own effect. If someone is doing evil to you and you do good to him, your doing good to him will not be without any result. So, idfa billati ahsan. You must defend yourself against their evils in a way which is the best. If they are throwing stones upon you, you present them the flowers. If they are calling names to you, you pray to Allah for their guidance. There was a woman who used to tease Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day, she didn't do it. The Prophet inquired, and he was told, she is ill. He went to his house and disdained that woman. What I have been doing to him, and what he has come here to do to me. After all, human nature, it does respond. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. There can be a result that between him and you there was enmity before, but then now that person will become the closest friend and supporter for you. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنْ. Time is over. I'm sorry, we shall have to take some time tomorrow to complete this lesson of ours. But then tomorrow's lesson, real lesson, is Suratul Qiyamah. And that we shall inshallah complete tomorrow. Full surah. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ni wa iyaakum bil ayati wa zikr al-hakim innahu ta'ala jawadun kareemun malikum barru raufur raheem.